your great friend, and you alerted to us to the fact that Dr. Bruce Reid was struggling, and very sadly, was it yesterday or the day before that he passed away?
It was the night before. Yeah, the night before. So, you know, there are people who are real life influencers. And they have that effect on not just you. There are some people who have just an effect on you, and you get to know somebody and they maybe become a mentor for you or a friend and a lifetime friend. But he was shared, or he shared himself with, like, literally thousands of people, Gary. The stories that will come out about about Doc and his generosity of spirit will go on forever.
And I know Doc Reid. I knew Doc Reid. Not anywhere near as well as you, clearly. That was one of the few times where I wanted to be on social media, because I imagine yesterday that's where a lot of people from different that have gone through the Essendon Footy Club or had experience with him would have gathered to share their experiences, and that's the sort of stuff I would have liked to have read on social media yesterday. I'm reading all the reports today in The Age and the Herald Sun about him, and I love reading them, but I imagine the tributes would have been flowing thick and fast.
Indeed, and I'll just tell you this little story, and it's not a long story, but it's an extension of a long... It's an extension of a long story that I've told you once before. The day that I did my knee, I talked about the corky, you know, the day that I did my knee at Waverley, 1986, and Susie was pregnant. She was about probably 6.5 months pregnant with Billy, our second child, right? So I went off the ground. I got carried off the ground on the stretcher. I went down into the rooms at Waverley. You know how long it sort of that tunnel was into the room. You know, big concrete sort of vast rooms that they were. Doc came down with about three trainers, and he was looking at checking my knee out. Then Susie came in. So she was heavily pregnant with Billy. And while they were examining my knee, Susie fainted. So she fell to the floor. And so 1 minute I'm getting unbelievable attention. Let's not look around. Not one person is giving a stuff about what happened to me, right? Anyway, so Doc comes back to me eventually after attending to Susie. And he just sort of, you know how they do that knee test and sort of test the stability and move it from side to side and that type of thing. Going, well, he said, I think you've escaped it. He said, I reckon you're only going to miss two, right? I missed 2 years, Gary. So it was like our long-standing joke that we had between us. That, two years, not two games. But I had the operation at Vimy House on a Wednesday night, and who do you reckon was the first person I woke up after the operation and sitting by my bedside was Doc. Yeah. And he would call in each night that I was in hospital on his way home and just check and make sure that I was okay. And it wasn't just me that he was doing this for. It was everybody everywhere. And even, you know, the old mate, you know, Moose Thompson. And he was telling me the other day, we were talking about Doc Reid, and we all love him. Like, when we talk about him, we all love him. We all have the same sentiment towards him. But he was telling me the story about he used to get into trouble from time to time, the Moose, right? So he went out on Saturday night to the Underground, and He got into a bit of a scuffle about 2:30 after the Underground, and got whacked, and he needed stitches. And he said, I drove straight to Doc Reid's place, 2:30 a.m., banged on the door. He got up, and then he stitched me up, and we had a couple. Like, that's the type. And every player, not every player would have that story, but every player would have a story about something that he did for them beyond the call of duty. Like, he was like the old-fashioned general practitioner doctor, but he loved people. And every time we had a club function, he wanted to be right in the middle of it. You know, like, he would write a song, and he'd sing, and he'd be drinking the red wine. He loved it. Like, he just loved being part of it. He's the most gregarious, fun-loving, serious when he needed to be serious type bloke that you could possibly find. I'll just one final thing about him, because I just want people to know what he was and who he was. And on a Friday before a game, and you were drawn to him, and you might have a bit of an injury that you just needed to sort of check on or whatever it was on a Friday. And I'd turn up at his place, not every Friday, but any time I turned up on a Friday, he would say, and you'd sit down and have a cup of tea with him and Judy in the kitchen. And So, oh, Merv's just, you just miss Merv Neagle, or you just miss Vander, or you just miss Billy. Everybody was doing the same thing. Like, he was drawing all of us to him. And, you know, for Sheeds, at that time, he was such a great offsider for him because we all talked to him about not just footy, we all talked to him about life and all the things that we were experiencing around life. And we all did that right through our lives. You know, when he got sick and I thought, who are we all going to turn to? Yeah. Who are we all going to turn to now? You know, like, not just because he was still looking after us medically, every person that would have sort of some connection to him medically. And after, you know, after he'd whiz into training at about 4:30, quarter to five, like he'd steam in there because he'd just come from his practice, right? So he just, and he was big and lively and all that sort of stuff. He'd come in, he'd attend to everybody that was waiting in the medical room. And then after that, you'd go back out and then you'd see that, you know, players, kids were waiting to see him as well. So he'd attend to everybody there as well. Yeah. It was just, he was, I don't know how he had, and he had a great, beautiful family and a great family man. I just don't know, like, they had to share him with us. Like, he was just, and he had enough to give to everybody. Like, he truly was a remarkable man.
You did such a fantastic job, because there are these people at all clubs that fit that bill. And the thing that resonated with me there is you said people just gravitated towards him. And that I'd imagine, and I could say this almost certainly, on footy trips and, you know, when we used to play those exhibition games and all that, I bet you Bruce was right in the middle of everything that was going on.
Gary, he was the busiest man I know, but he never missed it. Nobody in the history of the game has attended more footy trips than what he has. And he'd be out, and he loved life. You know, he'd be making jokes, and like a doctor, you know how doctors have really black senses of humour, so because they see everything. You know, they deal with people's heartache and poor health, and he was like that too. Like the conversations you may have with him, or you hear him having with other people out at functions and stuff like that, and you'd hear him say, "Oh, Bruce, you can't say that." "Oh, of course I can. I'm a doctor. I've seen it all. I've seen it all."
and we're going to get to a break. Yeah. I'm happy to go a bit over here, because this is painting such a beautiful picture. Is that what I loved about people like Dr. Reed and others is that they have this capacity to, they can relate to the very top, like the chairman of Essendon or whoever your higher sponsor was. He could be sitting there dealing with him, and then be every bit as comfortable with a first year recruit. He would have common ground with all of those people.
Oh, Gary, like, honestly, I really love this man. And I remember how, like, it hit me, like, hearing that he was sick the first time. And I rang him, and it was just before Christmas. And I remember the conversation really, really clearly. And I told him, you're like, how much I loved him. And I think it's so important to tell people when you really feel like that for them, to tell them that. And we were just talking, and he said, oh, you know, at the time he hadn't gone on this medication. And he said, you know, if I could just get another 3 years, this is what he was saying, like, if I could just get another 3 years. Well, he got probably maybe another 18 months. But, you know, the thing about him is, because he loved life, if he had got that 3 years, he would have said, I just want another 3 years. I just need another 3 years to do all the things that I want to do. Genuinely loved by so many, many people, not just, you know, not just AFL players, not just people that crossed his paths through football and sport, but through his general practice as well. He would have had the same care, love and attention for all those people too.